Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to the Cook and Joe Show. I'm Cameron Johnson with us, number one draft choice going to Phoenix, number 11 pick in this past NBA draft. I think the first local kid since Danny Fortson to go in the top 11. I think Fortson was 10 back in 2009. Cam, you talked earlier about the transfer rule and everything else. I wanted to ask you, everybody talks about, you know, the millions and millions that the NCAA makes and the colleges offer you guys in the tournament. Should guys be paid? Do you believe that? Should they? And do you think it's going to happen at some point?
Okay, I also wrote a 25-page paper on this.
So you know I'm asking the right guy.
His face lit up when you asked him that question.
Again, I have the same answer I have for the transfer question. There is no simple solution. Because if you get into the topic of playing players, how much do you pay players? What determines how much you pay them? Do you pay every guy the same amount? Do you pay low Division I players the same amount as high Division I players? So if you're going to do it in that form, it'd be very, very complicated. I think the first step and the most logical next step is to let players be paid for their name, image, and likeness. So kind of let them profit off their name. So, you know, I always say this. The tough thing about college sports and why it kind of frustrates me a little bit when they get over-criticized in the media is because full scholarships aren't necessarily as rare as you might, you know, think. You know, a college basketball player at a high level, at a North Carolina, at a Duke, at a Kentucky, even at a Pitt, they get the same scholarship as a full scholarship kind of in any other sport or academically. The sort of benefit to your situation is your publicity, the fact that you're kind of out there in the media. And that benefit is, you know, you get to see yourself on the TV. You get to see your success on the TV. But the same thing can be said for the opposite. You see your failures on the television. You see when you get criticized on television. I remember there was one game we lost to NC State. And at North Carolina, you never lose to NC State. I think in the last 30-some games, it's like 30-4. And I was just hurt. We lost on and overtime, and it was, you know, they were all running their mouths, and I'm back with my family, and I go back to their hotel, and I turn on the TV, like, I didn't even turn it on. I was sitting on the couch just sad, moping, and then somebody turned on the TV, and it was ESPN, and the first thing I see is them saying, this North Carolina team is overrated, and then we all get named individually, and our flaws get shown, and I'm just on the couch, like, man, this is not cool, like, this really hurts, and so I think, you know, especially with kind of mental health being at the forefront of people's minds now, I think people need to be a little bit more conscious of that from a college athlete's perspective, because that's kind of what they have at the end of the day. They don't have kind of like a nice house to go back to. They got a dorm to go back to. They don't have a fancy car to drive off the lot. They got, you know, whatever they might be able to afford to bring to college. So it's not like we live that glorious of a life. Like, our benefit to being a big time college basketball player and the experience that comes along with it can also be what gives you kind of the most stress in your life. So in terms of being paid, I think there should definitely be some form of compensation, and what form exactly, I don't know, but I think it starts with letting them profit off their name, image, and likeness.
Cam Johnson, I have a what if question for you. Have you ever thought, and I would imagine if Jamie had stayed here, you probably would have stayed here. And if you did, first, is that true? And secondly, if you did, do you think you guys would have had a really good team?
To an extent, that's true. I don't think the reason I left is because Coach Dixon left. I think the reason we left was the sour taste I had from a rough 2016-2017 season and kind of the prospect of how, if I'm being honest, of how things were looking in the future. And a rebuild is a rebuild no matter which way you shake it. You know, rebuilding a whole program from the kind of the bottom up was what we were doing with basically only me and Ryan, the returning players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I only had 2 years of college basketball left, and you're going to take lumps when you go through a complete rebuild like that. So, you know, had there been more success and things, you know, would have been looking up, I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have had a reason to leave. But just the situation, and I knew what I was getting myself into, and I wanted to contend for a national championship, kind of led to me leaving.
And you guys had some talent, right? Before guys, obviously, everything got shaken up. But at the time, when you started out, it could have been you, Mike Young, Jamel Artis, some talent around there.
You couldn't tell us we weren't a top 15 team going into the season. We thought, like, between our team, we were, like, very angry when the preseason top 25 came out and we weren't on it. And we're like, we're a top 15 team. We're a top 20 team. Our practices over the summer were great. We were competing at a high level. You know, everybody's mind was in the right place. But obviously when adversity hits, you know, things start to crumble a little bit. And we kind of took some lumps as a team, and it was tough. And, you know, I like, it's hard to put into words, but just when adversity hits in an atmosphere like that and a team kind of starts to cave, it just snowballs and it gets worse and worse. And that's when we went on like a 7-game losing streak in ACC play. But in terms of just talent, you know, Mike Young, Jamel Artis, Sheldon Jeter, Chris Jones, Ryan Luther, Damon Wilson, we had guys that could play. We had guys that could really play. Maybe it wasn't the best, you know, dispersion of talent. We didn't have, you know, a true point guard. We didn't have a true big, but we had everything in between. It's just when adversity hits and negative things start to snowball, it's really hard to recover from.
I know Joe mentioned this. I'm going to ask for him. You know, how did you learn to shoot as well as you shoot? And I know the simple answer is probably hours and hours of practice, but expand on that just a little bit.
So one thing that my parents always made sure we did was form shooting. And, you know, probably every day over the summer, maybe I'd go outside and make 100 form shots, make 50 form shooting, you know, little jump shots in a row. And for me, I always played up in age group when I was younger. So second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I always played up in age group. And as those years started to progress, I didn't grow, but everybody else did. So I was like, oh man, like I need to be able to do something out here. So when I was younger, I didn't rely on my shooting as much as I did as I started to get older into middle school and everybody else started to get bigger. So there was a point when I was probably in seventh grade and I was playing eighth grade and Mike Young was on my team and Geno Thorpe and Devin Wilson. We had a really good team, guys that went, you know, to play some high level Division I, but they were already kind of maturing. They were 6'1", 6'2", 6'5", and I was 5'4", 5'5". And I was like, man, I got to be able to do something. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the strongest. I was actually the slowest and the weakest. So I was like, I need to be able to do something. So shooting was kind of what I hung my hat on. It was what I worked on. And, you know, it was where my, you know, what opportunities I had during the game was, you know, spotting up, you know, relying on them to drive and kick to me. So for me, it was kind of out of necessity is where I kind of built my jump shot. And, but in terms of fine tuning it, I want to be honest. I think I get the touch from my mother. My dad taught me how to shoot, but my mom, I think, had a pretty good natural shooting touch. So I think that was kind of handed down to me as a gift.
Your mother never stops giving.
No,
she gives you your shooting touch and your brains.
She doesn't stop giving. That's why she's the best.
He knew I was good. Your dad sitting here. He knew where I was going as soon as you said that.
Yeah, but I said my dad taught me how to shoot, but and a lot of fine tuning, a lot of form shooting, and a natural gift from my mother with my dad teaching me how to shoot was the recipe for it.
I think you've been quoted as saying your brother, Puff, might be better than you. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Or might turn out better than you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about
And it's
him.
Not even like, it's a legitimate thing. He could very well be much better than me. There are some things he needs to work on and some things. And the good thing about it is we kind of know where his, I know at least from watching him play where his weaknesses are. I said, Puff, if you can get better in X, Y, and Z category, I'm not going to give the full scouting report on him because I don't want his full scouting report out. But if you can improve on this, your life will be set. And for him, if he grows another inch, he's as tall as me. His wingspan is already longer than mine. He's a little bit bigger than I was at the same age. You know, he's stronger than I was at the same age. And I just think the sky's the limit for him. And he has a real chip on his shoulder. He's aggressive. He plays above kind of his frame. So when I'm playing with him now, like if he's struggling to get a basket one-on-one, he'll try to put his shoulder into me to score and kind of, you know, bully me. I'm like, what are you trying to do there? But he doesn't really back down from anything. Now, as a disclaimer, last time we played one-on-one, I beat him 44-12. So he's not quite there yet.
I was just going to ask you, he's not, everything on the line, a one-on-one, who wins?
I guess I have my answer. 44-12. And his excuse was, well, if I would have made shots, I would have beat you. And I was like, that's the point of the game. I made shots, you didn't. That's why I won. That's why everybody who ever won a basketball game won. But he has a chip on his shoulder. He's aggressive. He's tough, and he got a real good shot. And I think he'll be well off.
Wow.
Two guys and one family.
And he's got another one too, right? Another one?
There's a third coming?
There's a fourth. I mean, we're not going to discount Aaron. Aaron was a great player. My oldest brother was a great player in his own right.
Two younger.
He just didn't get the growth spurt, so I feel real bad for him. But Braylon, I think he'll be tall because he's much taller than Puff and I were at the same age. And I wouldn't be surprised if Braylon turns out to be 6'9", you know? So I think, you know, he'll be pretty good too.
As long as your mother works with him, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Ron, I forgot the last key question.
Go ahead.
I meant it to be the first. We have a guy who hosts here, name of Chris Muller, hosts the afternoon show, who claims that in a pickup game at Penn State, he made 9 straight three-pointers on 9 straight trips down the court. Truth or lie?
I'm going to say truth.
Really?
I got faith in him.
Oh, no.
He came down one of us. He nailed 9 straight threes. Tell him I said it. I believe him. But I want to see him do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. I want to see footage of the first time.
In the playoffs.
Gil Johnson saying Puff had in the playoffs?
Yeah, he did. It was over the course of 2 games. It was over the course of two games. It was not straight trips, but he was like 10 for 10 over 10 threes in the playoffs as a freshman at Olsch.
Maybe he will turn out to be better than you, huh?
Time will tell, but, you know, right now he's not there, but he definitely can get there.
Cam, we appreciate you coming in. Wish you the best of luck, man.
Yeah, man, really.
Yeah, you're going to represent this city and your family very well. I have no doubt about that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for
coming
in.
Appreciate you guys letting me come in.
Yeah, when is this master's thesis going to be done? I want to read
that. You asked my mom, it's long overdue. But, man, I really thought this time after the season between then and the draft would be like, hey, I have plenty of time to get it done. That time flew by, and I was busy every second of it. So I'm getting back in. And the worst thing, you know, with something like a thesis is sitting it down for too long and then trying to get back into it. And I was on a great pace until conference play hit. And I was like locked in on the season.
Yeah. It sounds like it's important for you to finish it, though.
Isn't it? I have to. And my mom would kill me if I didn't. So that would, you know, that's another reason to finish it so I can keep my life. But I'll finish it. I'll finish it relatively soon. I'll finish it soon. And this conversation probably spurred me to get back into the topic of transfers. And I got some more things I need to figure out on that end.
We'll be rooting for you, man. Thanks again. Cam Johnson, top of the hour. Ron, I want to ask you about a little NFL story that broke today.
There's some Le'Veon news out there.
Is there?
Yes,
why don't
there
we
is.
Start with that then? I'd love to hear it. Coming up on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.